to follow our theme once again for today, which we started in our morning Bible studies. All right, our theme for today is kingdom law. Right? Is that where you were looking at things? Kingdom law. So in Matthew chapter 5, I believe that's where you were, still dealing with Jesus. As he said, listen, sit down, let me talk to you a while. I've got some things I need to teach you, to pour into you. This is what it looks like to be my disciple, to love me, to live for me, to honor me. These are the types of things that I'm dealing with. And today, I believe you went past the outward action and got to the heart of things. Because God sees past our exterior, and he sees what's going on in the interior. So you look at the kingdom law that way. And for us today, we're going to be in Romans chapter 7. So if you've got a Bible, you might go ahead and turn there. If you didn't bring a Bible today, the text is on the wall. It's also printed in your bulletin. You can follow along that way. So we'll be there shortly. But when we're talking about kingdom law here, what we're really dealing with is how we can follow and obey God's commands. That's what it is that we're looking after in our time together here this morning. So the reality is, do we know that God has commanded things? Yes, okay? Do we have difficulty with the commands? Yes, okay? So here we have a dilemma. What's the little word for you and I having difficulty with God's commands? Sin. And so it is today. I want to look at how we can deal with this sin, okay? How we can overcome this sin, how we can battle this beast within. Now, Paul's talking about the struggle here in Romans 7. He identifies with you and I here today. He's got this new nature that he's going to refer to as who I am now. He's going to draw a distinction between his old nature, what he once was, and yet how that old guy keeps wanting to rise up, creep up, cause all kinds of havoc in his life. And so we see the struggle there in Romans chapter 7. But here's what I know. How many of you, well, let me just ask you, how many of you have ever offered an excuse? All right, some of you find that common. How many of you have ever offered an excuse about your sin? Okay, I think if we all would, if we all have arms that were connected to our shoulders, we could raise them and say that we would probably, we've made excuses. Because we tend to be excuse prone. Right? So I want to share some of these with you. Maybe you've used some of these before, maybe you've heard other people use them. But just to kind of get us headed in this direction of overcoming our excuses. Here's an excuse. That's his job, not mine. You ever use that one? Here's my job description, and I don't have to do his work. Okay, so maybe it's at your career, maybe it's at school, maybe it's at home. So that's her mess, or it's her turn to empty the dishwasher, or it's his night to take out the trash. So what are we doing? We're just throwing out some excuses. Have you ever heard the one that says something like, well, I'm just waiting for an okay? I'm just ready, I'm just waiting on you. Like it's your fault that I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. You never said that it was okay for me to go. Now, what about this one? How was I to know this was different? How was I to know this was different? Kind of like, can I have ice cream for a snack? No. And 5 minutes later, they're chomping on chocolate chip cookies. Did I say you could have cookies? No. What did I say? You just said I couldn't have ice cream. I didn't know there was anything different. Right? You all play these games too. Here's another one. That's not in my department. So I'm not responsible for it. Okay, that's kind of similar to it's his job, not mine. Another one is, well, that's the way we've always done it. Right? So could be at your home, could be at your place of work or school. This is probably the one that's most connected to church. Right? When we think of church, what's the T word we think of? Tradition. Right? In an ever-changing world, sometimes we want to come to a safe place that just feels the same. Okay? It's not any different. So we're not reading different, singing different, talking different, serving different. Nothing's different. But what's happening is all around us has changed. And if we're not careful, very soon, shortly, we become irrelevant. We don't speak the language of our culture. And so we start to say things, well, that's the way we've always done it. It really means I'll just offer an excuse for why I'm not going to change. Here's another one. I don't know. I didn't know that you were in a hurry for it. I didn't know you needed it right now. I was just going to wait until tomorrow to do it, and then I'll get, I didn't know, you didn't tell me I was supposed to turn it in today. And what about wait until the boss comes back and ask him? In my house, that works more like wait until your mom gets home and ask her. Okay? What is that? That's just a poor excuse for a father. Three, well, I didn't know it was that important. Or no one told me to go ahead. Or here's the first one. This is probably the most common. And it's two little words, I forgot. You ever use that one? I just forgot. Okay? And when we say I forgot, how do we feel? We kind of feel excused, right? That's my excuse. That's why I'm throwing it out there. So, I'm okay. I'm off the hook. So, when I offer an excuse, all I'm really doing is looking for a way to cover myself. And here's the reality. It's no different in how I live spiritually. I offer similar excuses when it comes to kingdom law, when it comes to trying to live and follow God's commands. And so to summarize all those probably in three different ways, let's throw along these three excuses as well. I think one is denial. So when I sin, sometimes I just tend to deny it. No, I didn't do that. Or denial can also be I do not acknowledge that it's wrong. So yes, I did it, but there's nothing wrong with it. Right? So that's my excuse. And if I'm sinning, obviously there's something wrong with it. So to deny is to offer an excuse. Often also we'll look to blame somebody else. Couldn't be me that got into this trouble. I couldn't be alone in this, so I need a partner. So who was in this with me? Who influenced me? Who helped bring me down? And so we start looking around for somebody to blame because it had to be somebody else's fault. Or maybe we start to own it, but then we throw in the little B-U-T word. I did it, but, and let me explain to you why I did it. Okay? As though my explanation is going to justify my sin. It's simply not true. So today what I want to look at is how we can notice our sin, acknowledge our sin, deal with our sin, and ultimately overcome our sin, just as Paul outlines for us in Romans chapter 7. So if you have a Bible, let's turn there. If you're there already, let's look at what Paul is telling us. He's describing you and I to a T. He's describing us to a T as it relates to our new nature in Christ. If we're a Christian, His Spirit lives within us for this new creation. And yet, at the same time, we've got this sin nature that still wants to wreak havoc. So how do we win this battle? How do we overcome those temptations? And so let's go to Romans chapter 7. We're going to read verse 14, and we're going to go through the end of the chapter. It says, For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, I'm soul under sin. For what I'm doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. So you see his dilemma, his struggle. You say, me too, Paul. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. And so I find that a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. When you go into chapter 8, you see how there's no condemnation any longer because we've been set free by the Spirit. So we'll get into that a little bit later today. But what I want to deal with is how we can overcome sin's excuses. And three things we'll note from these verses from our reading here today. The first thing is this. I need to recognize that God's commands are good. I need to recognize that what God has laid out for me, for us, is good. So when I sin, all I'm simply doing is violating one of God's commands. I'm breaking His law. But also when I sin, I'm being deceived. Right? When I sin, I am being deceived, and I'm being deceived into thinking that what God is asking of me is just unreasonable. Or it's too restrictive. Or it's too difficult for me. Like, this is His standard. What's His standard? It's perfection. And you need to follow all these laws perfectly. And so sometimes I can look at that and I can say, man, it's just too hard. I cannot live up to that standard. So rather than seeing God's law as good, I start to see it more like a fun killer. Like He's a killjoy. He's just trying to squash everything good in life by reminding me how short I fall of meeting His standard of perfection. The reality is I'm just being deceived. So let's go to verse 11 here, Romans chapter 7. It says here we go, sin. For sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, sin has deceived me, and through the commandment has put me to death. So sin begins to deceive us in ways like this. It starts to tell us that what God has put out there is not good. Okay, it starts to create doubt that what God has said in some way or another is really not, it's not in our best interest to follow. And so it starts to say, like, this is difficult. This is going to make you miserable. And you can't measure up, and there's no way to keep trying. It's like his commands are simply put there to rob us of our joy. So think about it initially. What was the first sin? We find people in a garden. Okay, we also find who else was there? We find a serpent. We find the deceiver here. And the serpent deceives Eve. Right? He deceives her by causing her to think about what God has said and say, listen, God has given you these commands, these laws, and this law says that to eat of this is not good for you. And so he's starting to undermine what God has said. It's too restrictive. He's trying to keep something away from you rather than highlighting and maximizing the goodness of God's mind and putting the restriction there in the first place. Okay? So God knew best that they should stay away from the tree. The devil says, no, it's okay. It's for your good. And so he starts to deceive her. He influences her. And ultimately then, he sins. And so we see this problem. When I fail to see God's commands as good, here's what's going on. It's one of three things. I'm either thinking, this is unreasonable. You shouldn't be asking this of me. This is too restrictive. There's too many boundaries in my life. I need more freedom. Or it's just too difficult. I cannot measure up to your standard. So it's restrictive. It's unreasonable. Or it's simply too difficult. And when I don't see it as good, you know what always follows? What's the little word? Sin. When I do not see law, or God's laws, God's commands as good, what always follows is sin. So here's the thing. When I've got sin in my life, I've got to deal with it. We're talking about Christian people here initially. When I have sin in my life, I have to deal with it. So, yes, Christians still sin. True. And yes, Christians, sometimes we still offer excuses rather than coming out and acknowledging that we've sinned. Sometimes we just try to deal with it by offering up an excuse. So since I cannot keep it, I've got to find a way to deal with my sin. So let's go to verse 16. Because I believe we need to see something here. Here's how we see that the law is good. All right? Romans chapter 7. In the heart of a Christian, we're talking about Paul. If I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is, what is it? Good. So here's what's going on in the heart of Paul. Right? He's got this struggle. He's got this tension. I want to live for God. I want to honor God. I want to serve God. And yet all the while I keep doing these things that I don't want to do. So when I see that I want to do what I'm not doing, it has to say to me that God's commands are good. Because that's what the spirit within me is craving, is longing for, is desiring. So if I do what I don't want to do, I agree that the law is good. So to begin, we've got to understand God's laws are good, that they're there for our good. And if I will not reconcile that truth, ultimately I'll find myself offering excuses for my sin. All right, so I'm going to recognize that they're good. Let's go to the second here today. As we think about overcoming excuses. So I've acknowledged or I've seen that they're good. Can we all agree that we're sinners today? Okay? I don't think we need to go too far down that road. We're all sinners. The Bible tells us we've all sinned. So, yeah, I have sinned, but I also need to learn how to overcome my sin. And so what I'm saying here today by acknowledging our sin but don't live there, I mean this. Yes, I'm a sinner, but I'm not going to just willfully sin. I'm not just going to sit in that little pot of sin and say, this is all I can ever be. This is the person I'll always be. Never striving to become something that God wants me to be. So we're really dealing with our spiritual health. Not excusing my sin, acknowledging it, but not living there, not making excuses for it. And we see Paul doing this also. So let's go to verse 19 and 20 of Romans 7. We talk about acknowledging our sin, but not living there. He says, for I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, that's what I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it's no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. Now, on the surface, what does this sound like? It sounds exactly like an excuse. When we go on to read, Paul identifies for us that his nature, it's his flesh, it's his sin nature, he's still doing this. So Paul doesn't identify himself as a sinner. Paul is identifying himself as a new creation. He's been made new, but he still has to deal with the old. See what I'm saying? He's not just saying, well, I'm just a sinner and this is all I can ever be. No, he's living on the blessed side of grace. He's come to a place where he's not offering excuses. Excuses kind of like this. You ever heard the devil make you do it? You ever use that one?
Yeah.
How'd that work out for Eve?
Not well.
Not so well, right? I mean, the bottom line of the devil made me do it, it's a big old cop-out is all it is. It's just a big excuse. So Paul's not saying things like that. Here's the reality. Can the devil make you sin? No. The devil cannot make you sin. Can the devil tempt you to sin? Yes. Can the devil influence us to sin? Yes. But ultimately, when I sin, who's accountable? Me. So you're not my problem. He's not my problem. Wherever he is, I'm the problem. Okay, so I need to acknowledge when I sin that it is me. It's not the devil. He's not the one who made me do it. It's that sin nature that is warring within me. And so that's one excuse we hear. Sometimes I hear an excuse, and this one, whatever, soapbox is just the biggest one for me, okay? I'm just a sinner. I'm just a sinner. And you talk about getting the hair on the back of my head to stand up. And that's just my opinion. It doesn't have to be yours, but I'm just telling you, when you walk by me and say, I'm just a sinner, you're driving me crazy. And I'm driving myself crazy when I try to offer that same excuse. See, the bottom line reality is this. I'm not just a sinner. Right? I'm sinning. I'm being renewed. I'm being changed. I'm being transformed. I'm a child of God, and I'm supposed to act like one of His. True? There's something within me that should long to reflect the way that my Father lives. So if I'm being renewed, then I should act like it. I'm to follow through with the commands that the Father has made before me. So not offering excuses is what I need to do. Don't offer the excuse simply. Acknowledging. Here's what I want to talk about for a minute when it deals with excusing sin. So I'm a Christian, I have sinned, and I'm just a sinner, and all I can do, all I know to do is sin, that's absurd. But when I excuse my sin, I'm starting to belittle or minimize what Jesus has done for me. So I make the cross seem like it's not that big a deal. You didn't really need to do that for me. I start to think that I'm pretty good on my own. I can merit God's forgiveness by my efforts. So when I excuse it, I just belittle what God has done. When I excuse it, here's something else that keeps us connected to our sin. So when I sin and I just raise my hand and say, I'm just a sinner, that's all I can do. No. All you're doing is keeping yourself tied to that sin. Because here's what's happening. If I'm going to excuse it, I'm not going to confess my sin. If I'm not going to confess my sin, I'm not going to repent of my sin. I'm not going to turn from it. If I do not confess and repent, I'm not going to find forgiveness. If I do not confess, repent, and find forgiveness, then I'm going to quench the work of the Holy Spirit in my life. I'm going to grieve that Spirit because I'm not doing what I should do. Acknowledge it? Yes. I'm just a sinner? No. No. That's a terrible excuse for me. So I've got this Holy Spirit within me that, yes, He convicts me of my sin. He helps me to see my sin. But ultimately, I can't stay there. So what do I expect? I expect out of you what I expect out of me. I expect out of me what I expect out of the Word. I expect that we as Christians fight. I expect we as Christians battle. The word in the New King James was that this is some warring going on. I expect that you will persevere. I expect you and I to overcome rather than you and I just go on. Well, we're just sinners sleeping under the rug. I'm sure the devil made a mistake. It's just not the way it works. So I acknowledge it, yes, but I just can't call that place home. I've got to deal with my sin. I've got to fight. I've got to battle. I've got to overcome. So how do I do it? Right? How do I do it? Yeah, I've definitely got to begin with looking to the Lord. And that's what we're talking about here in our third point today. How do I overcome my sin? Overcome it. I've got to look to Jesus for my help. I've got to look to Jesus for my help. So if I'm ever going to overcome sin's temptation, guys, here's the reality. I've can't just live there and say I'm a sinner. I've got to acknowledge it, don't excuse it, and then ask Jesus for his help. Ask him to give me the ability to fight, to give me the mind that wants to battle, to give me that attitude of perseverance that says I'm not going to quit, and ultimately I will overcome because you have overcome. And apart from that, I'm just trying to do it on my own. Romans chapter 7, verse 18, we see this battle going on within Paul. He says, for I know the good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. But he goes on to say things to this nature. He says, for the will is present with me, but how to perform it, I just can't find. You know what he's saying? I have a desire to do what God wants me to do, but within me, what do I find? I find an inability to do the good that I want to do. On my own, I am unable to battle the devil. On my own, I'm unable to overcome my temptation. On my own, all I get is what the sinful flesh can gain for me. Therefore, there's got to be something other than this will within me. My self-determination does nothing to help me overcome my sin. So Paul says, I want to do good, I just can't do it on my own. So how does he do it? Well, we've got to look to Jesus for our help. He's the solution. So verse 24 and 25, Romans 7, he says, what a wretched man I am. You ever felt that way? When I belong to Jesus Christ, why am I having these thoughts? Why am I saying these words? Why am I viewing this? Why am I interacting in this argument? Why? What a wretched fool, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? And here's the solution. But thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the truth of the matter is, Jesus, as we talked about a few weeks ago, he is our deliverer. And as I look to him, he will be my helper. It's not just that he can be, it's that he will be. It's through him I find the ability to fight. It's through him I find the ability and desire to battle, to persevere, and ultimately I will overcome. So we look to Jesus. He's our strength. Or we look to Jesus as he'll provide a way out. 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us, there's no temptation that's overtaken you except what's common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you're tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. So here we find this great promise for the Christian today. You and I are going to battle temptation. You and I are still war with the flesh. You and I are still going to sin in this process of becoming like Christ. You're not perfect yet, and neither am I, but that is not my what? That's not my excuse. I'm not perfect. No, you're not. But you're not just a sinner either. There's so much more than that. So I look to Jesus for my help. He'll give me strength to go through it, or he'll provide a way of escape if I'll just look to him. So in Jesus Christ, he's the one where I find the relief for my excuses. 1 John 4:4 tells us this. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. So you've got this greater than thing at work within you. And so do I. And you and I have this force that's greater than anything our sinful flesh could bring against us. And so I've got to connect. I've got to take time to read. And this is what we're talking about here a minute ago. Right? How do I look to Jesus? It's not just a churchy phrase. I need to be in the Word. I need to be letting my mind be saturated with the Word of God. So when I'm faced with temptation, I can resist it. Isn't that how Jesus did it? Jesus didn't start throwing out bonehead excuses. Well, the devil's making me jump off this building just to prove that I can rule the earth. But the devil's knowing I'm hungry, and so I'm going to go ahead and eat that bread that he's making out of stone. You know, Jesus, every time he was tempted, at least what we have record of, he replies with, it's written. This is what God has said. So when I say look to Jesus, it's not like you look to the sky somewhere and say, where are you? Look at his word. Man, hide that word in your heart. Didn't David say, I'm going to hide your word in my heart for the purpose that I won't sin against you? How I overcome sin. How I can get to a place where I acknowledge but don't excuse it is by hiding God's word in my heart. It's by praying. Taking time to really honestly pour out who you are. I have screwed that up. And you know it. And there's nothing about that that I can justify that makes it right. I sinned. And now I confess my sin. I repent of my sin. I seek forgiveness for my sin. And And I ask for your strength to help me overcome that temptation. See how that works? That's how we battle. Sometimes we walk around as joyless Christians. We walk around as defeated people, and people who are stuck in certain types of habits, thinking, I'm just a sinner, and this is the way my life's going to play out, when all that we need to do is really look to Jesus. He's offered to free us. He's offered to help us through these things. Now, here again, it's going to be difficult, right? I mean, when you and I talk about a fight, that doesn't sound easy. When you and I talk about a battle or persevering, nobody thinks, well, that's a lazy Sunday afternoon. So it's simple in its concept, but as we said here a few years ago, simple never implies easy. So what's the right way to battle? I've got to look to Jesus. What's the wrong way to battle? Here's my excuse. I just can't win. He just keeps defeating me. Man, we've got so much more to live for. We've got such a greater power within us if we'll just lean to Him and look to Him rather than trying to battle on our own. So have I got a sin problem? Some days. Have you got a sin problem? Some days. And even as Christians, you and I are still going to be tempted to sin. How am I going to overcome? I've got to resolve. I'm not going to make excuses. I'm not going to just say, well, I'm 37 and it's just the way that I'm going to be. I kind of set my way of life or whatever your age is. And I just can't change at this point. It's just you. It's my personality. And it's your old flesh speaking. Right? God's going to be a process. It will take some time. But God can, God will change us. He gives us the victory, the ability to overcome our sin. So what do? I've just got to look to Jesus Christ, rely on Him, let Him be the one who helps me overcome. And so let's try to bring this to a close here today. See, the reality is all this begins with Jesus. This all begins with Jesus. So here it is today. If I am trying to follow how other Christians live, and when I lay my head down and die, I am a miserable person. Because all I'm doing is trying to measure up to your standard. Listen, you're not my standard, and I'm not yours. Right? In a true sense of this phrase, I shouldn't care what you think of me. Nor should you care what I think of you in the sense of being the one who says, well, you're meeting the standard or not. Because far too often I say the standard's too difficult. Here's my excuse. I'm going to lower the bar. Where I need to be going is to the one who has given the kingdom law, the one who has set the standard. So trying to just play church, trying to just be a Christian in my own power, leaves me helpless, hopeless. I lose that every time. It starts with Jesus Christ. Be my Savior. Forgive me of my sins. The promise from the Word is that when we receive Christ as Savior, His Spirit comes and dwells within us. Right? This isn't hokey. This isn't fairy tale. It's not just church lingo. It's reality. The very presence of Christ is in the Christian. And He's working to renovate. He's working to renew. And so I've got to initially start by receiving Christ as my Savior. I just simply wondered, have you done that here today? See, if I'm trying to overcome sin in my life, and I'm asking, help me overcome this sin, God, this is just battling me, but I've never asked you to save me. Is that a prayer God's going to hear? Is that a prayer God's going to respond to? And Paul's writing here today to the Christian, to those who have Christ within them, to those who are entrusting Him as their Savior. So maybe today it's your day. I want to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. I want to confess my sin. I know I'm a sinner. I know in my own power I lose this battle. And I know I don't have to fight. Maybe today you'd like to ask Jesus to save you. And maybe you sit here today and you say, you know, I know that I'm saved already. I know that I've trusted in Jesus as my Savior and I try to live to honor Him. Maybe you feel like as you look at your life, you're offering some excuses. Maybe you look at your life today and you say, this is what's overcoming me. This is what's killing me. And I just can't get over it. And I come to this building and I sing the songs and I interact with the teachings and I hear whatever. But I still just feel like I'm losing. Listen, here again. Just because we show up in a building doesn't mean anything supernatural happens. And it's about you and I looking to Jesus Christ and letting Him be the author of with our help. So maybe today you just resolved that this is the only way I know how to live, this is the only way I'm going to be just a sinner, and that's as good as it's going to be. I'm saved and I'm going to get into heaven by the skin of my teeth. No, man, don't settle for that very good. God wants to deliver you. He wants to help you. He can. But you and I must look to Him. We must trust in Him. We must allow Him to be that deliverer. So maybe today is a day to drop excuses. I'm sick of making excuses. Maybe that's how you feel. I don't know. It is a day for you just to once again trust in Jesus Christ. Overcoming sin's excuses. Everybody sins. We all acknowledge that this morning. We all sin. We all battle temptation. The reality is, I want to win this battle, don't you? You want to be overcome by your sin? You want to fall short continually? You want to be a reflection that there is a power within me that's much greater than me. And that's what I want to be. And it requires me to humble myself and to look to Jesus to be my help.